Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester, and with me as always is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I think, first of all, you're not allowed to call me Wheels. So, I don't know, you can't call me Keeve.
Should it be Threenaker then?
Yeah, this is a basketball episode, so call me Threenaker.
All right, Threenaker. Well, last week we ranked 100 to 32 in the greatest NBA careers of all time. Today we're doing 1 to 31. And we've
we'll probably do in 31 to 1 order. I feel like we start with 1.
Thank you,
no one's going to listen for like, who's 27? Sweet.
All right, so we're going to go 31 to 1. And we've got some good feedback from this episode, but the best feedback so far, I want to give a shout out to listener Jared Jerome, who submitted his own list of top 50. He said he did it in under an hour, which, if true, is extraordinarily impressive because his list is better than just about any of the professional lists that I've seen. And, of course, when I say better, I mean that his list more closely aligns with mine.
Okay. That I believe.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump right into it. And the reason we stopped over here, as I said at the end of last week's podcast, is I said 31, I have a cutoff there. From here on out, everyone is basically a perennial MVP caliber guy. So if you're not in the top 31, you weren't most of your career, you know, getting MVP votes year in, year out. And that's where I draw the line.
But there are people here who've never won an MVP.
Who have never won an MVP?
Sure.
There are, so again, I don't care about the actual MVP. I care about the chest VP.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
And you are correct. 12 of these 31 players never won.
Well, most of them played in the same era, so it's impossible for everyone.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap, yeah. 12 of them never won a chest VP. And even how many of them never won a real MVP? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Only 9 of them never won a real MVP. Part of that is because the real MVP voters have voter fatigue, which is why like Kareem and Jordan didn't win as many as they should, whereas right. I have no voter fatigue. I had Kareem winning 9 straight in the 70s because he was the best player, or 8 straight or something like that, because he was the best player and he should have. But all these guys got votes in the top 5 multiple times, except for the first couple of these guys who we're going to discuss, and I'll discuss why they're in this category, even though they didn't. And that's number 31. We'll start with number 31, Patrick Ewing. So Patrick Ewing's disadvantage is that his career overlapped with Akeem and David Robinson and later Shaq, so he was never the best center in the league. And so and that's part of the reason why, you know, he wasn't on NBA first teams, for example, and I think that he was a little bit sort of under-respected in his career for that reason. But he did actually get 5 times he was All-NBA second team, which is impressive considering those guys that he was playing with, as I said. And he was much better than Willis Reed. He played nearly twice as many games. So he deserves much better than his reputation, especially among Knicks fans.
Yeah, my 31 is a fellow named Patrick Ewing. Same
okay,
31 as
start.
You. Never finished top 3 in MVP voting.
I gave him a fourth place finish once and a fifth place finish once in my voting.
Yeah. He had 3 of each in real life. So he actually did better with the voters.
Well, yeah, he was playing
you.
New York, so he did have he had the New York media. But the interesting thing is that now the voters sort of disrespect him because we both have him at 31. At all the other lists I'm looking at, nobody has him that high. People have him in the low 30s. IBT has him at 48, and Zach Pelton did top 40, didn't have him at all, so he probably has him in the 40s as well. So his average ranking is 37, but I'm the highest, or you and I are higher than him and everybody else by just a little bit. So I do think he's a little bit disrespected historically.
I mean, obviously, a lot of it boils down to him making one final and never winning. Made 2 finals and never winning the championship.
Yeah, but his team lost to the Bulls in 91, 92, 93, 96. Like, that's not really his fault.
No, it's not. It's just hard to bring him higher. I feel like I'm very confident. You know, you could argue, say, Kevin McHale, who was my number 32 over him. But it would be hard to argue Ewing over anybody in my top 30. So we can't really disrespect him too much more.
Yeah, and I would say that it would be hard to argue Kevin McHale over him because he played nearly 200 more games, averaged 3 more points per game, 3 more rebounds per game, 3 more efficiency per game, more PER, more win shares, more all-stars.
Yeah, but Ewing always needed to be the best player on his team. What would Ewing have done on those Celtics?
Well, but that's the point, that McHale never was the best player on his team.
But
right?
He easily could have been. Like, are we going to punish Scottie Pippen?
Really? McHale made 1 first, second, or third All-NBA team ever. First, second, or third.
Yeah, but I think that in hindsight, that's silly.
No, that's the point. In hindsight, he's completely overrated. You mentioned Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen made 8 teams. 3 first teams, 2 second teams, 3 third teams. As we said last week, Kevin McHale is one of the 2 or 3 most overrated players in NBA history. And the reason is because his post moves were better than any other power forward ever. He had amazing moves. Great. He had great potential. As I said, so did Chris Webber, so did Derek Coleman. But he didn't take advantage of it. He was a role player, and he was never more than that. Maybe he had the potential to be more than that, but he wasn't. And it's not even like Manu Ginobili, where you can say, well, he had a limited role on that team. His PR for his career is 20, which is okay. But, you know, everybody else on this list above that has a higher PR. Patrick Ewing's PR was 21, even though he played way more games. Manu Ginobili, who just re-signed today for $14 million, his career PR is higher than Kevin.
Do you know
McHale
why
also.
He re-signed for $14 million? Did you see?
Why $14 million?
You know, like, why he got so much money when last year he made, like, four?
Well, they have the room now, don't they?
Well, no, the 76ers offered him, like, $18 million for the first year in a two-year deal. So
he wasn't going to the 76ers.
Well, he was if the Spurs offered him four. He wasn't going to take four over 18.
Yeah.
And a guaranteed right. two-year deal.
Well, I didn't know that. Well, good for Manu. And good for you as a Spurs fan. All right, so let's get to number 30 on my list. Number 30 on my list, inactive player, Chris Paul. Where's Chris Paul on your list?
I have him higher than 30.
Look, I'll allow
I
that.
I did a little bit more projection than you did for these guys.
Yeah, mine are totally based on what he's done so far. He's only played 773 games. If he has next year another year similar to how he's played most of his career, he'll move up a couple spots, and he'll keep moving up, much like I said.
I don't
Kevin
have a
Durant.
Ton of faith because small guards age very poorly, as you know. Yeah. I don't have a ton of faith that he's going to – he might have another great year this year. But I can't see him having three more great years, you know?
Well, okay, so right now he's the sixth best point guard ever, and he's destined to finish fourth, for sure, because he's definitely going to pass John Stockton and Bob Cousy, unless he just completely falls apart. He hasn't had playoff success, but he's had regular season success like no other. He should have won the 2008 MVP when he finished second to Kobe, which is insane, by the way. That year, the Hornets and the Lakers won as many games, despite the Hornets being way worse than the Lakers, obviously. Chris Paul was the best defensive point guard in the league that year. He put up 21-4-12, and yet he lost out on the MVP to Kobe. For Kobe, I think it was really a career achievement award, sort of like Jeter, because Kobe had never won the MVP, and I think the voters just wanted to give him one. And so they gave Kobe the MVP that year over Chris Paul, which was unfair. But yeah, he's been the best point guard on both ends of the court for most of his career. Like, do you remember in the beginning of his career when people were comparing him to Deron Williams?
Yeah. I mean, there was a year where people were like, Williams is better. And to be fair, yeah. Williams fell off the map. Like, it only sounds totally insane because Williams...
In hindsight. Well, it's like T-Mac against Kobe, sort of.
Right. T-Mac was
actually,
amazing.
This is even worse because, yeah, Deron Williams is like... T-Mac will still be in the Hall of Fame, whereas Deron Williams is like a nobody.
Well, I think on the 08 Olympic team, I know we've talked about the Olympics a lot in this podcast for some reason, but like, I think they were the two point guards, right? And Williams may have even started.
Deron Williams played very poorly in the Olympics, but he was like third or fourth on the team in minutes.
Yeah.
I don't have my Olympic chart open right now, but he
there was
like
a lot of people, you know, I'm sure you could go back and find some Bill Simmons columns of like, you know, Williams is better than Paul. Only averaged 20 points twice in his career, Chris Paul.
Yeah, but he's a point guard.
Yeah, but listen, if you want to be in the top 25 all time, it would probably help to average more points.
By the way, I'm just telling you that Deron Williams' best season, according to my list, in 2008, he finished 11th on my MVP ranking. And as I said, Chris Paul was first that year. Mm-hmm. The next year, he finished 15th, and Chris Paul was second. And the next year, he finished 14th, and Chris Paul was... Oh, Chris Paul was not on my list that year. What happened to Chris Paul?
So if you have to sign for...
So in 2010, Deron Williams is better than Chris Paul. That's the only year of his career
okay.
that he was.
And 10, and that's after, you know, sort of the argument was happening. Paul or Thomas for their career, you think Thomas is finishing ahead?
Who?
Isaiah or Chris Paul?
Oh, Chris Paul's dramatically better. It's not close.
Okay. Wait, you said Isaiah already?
Yeah, I said Isaiah at 41. You didn't listen to me at all last week, did you?
I did, but who remembers?
Isaiah is also one of the most overrated players of all time. Advanced stats are very unfriendly to him. His PR for his career is 18. Chris Paul's PR for his career is 25.7. Mm-hmm. Isaiah had 80 win shares. Chris Paul already has 144. So Chris Paul has almost doubled the win shares of Isaiah, and his career is still going.
Okay.
I mean, Chris Paul is significant. Also, Chris Paul is a great defensive player. He's been an all-defensive team eight times, whereas Isaiah never has. Remember, Isaiah, I told you, Isaiah finished top five in the MVP voting once, whereas Chris Paul does it just about every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. Isaiah's one of the most overrated players of all time, and Chris Paul is probably underrated because, again, he hasn't had that playoff success yet. But we'll see. The thing is, it ain't going to happen now on the Clippers. So.
Right.
He's going to have to join that banana boat team, I think, if he wants a chance. You know, if he could somehow get himself traded to Cleveland, maybe he'll get a chance that way. By the way, if you're the Clippers, you would trade Kyrie for Chris Paul straight up just because of the age difference, right?
Yeah, I would consider it. I'd definitely have a meeting about it.
Oh, I think it's a no-brainer for the Clippers.
I just don't
the Cavs
love
would
Kyrie.
Not do it. The Cavs would not do it except for the fact that
best
LeBron
friends.
Would say that they have to.
Yeah, LeBron would definitely. LeBron would make them do that if it was an option.
Yeah.
30, I had John Havlicek.
Okay. Oh, wow. So I have John Havlicek at number 29.
Okay.
So we really are quite simpatico here. Havlicek.
No, you're going to get very angry in about four people. You're going to start going crazy.
Oh, because you're going to disrespect KG.
I don't even mean KG specifically. Oh. I just mean
okay. So John Havlicek, you know, along with Pippen and Stockton, who's coming very shortly on my list, you know, the ultimate second banana. He spent the early part of his career behind Bill Russell and the later part of his career behind Dave Cowens. But he also had individual excellence much more than Pippen or Stockton. Like, can I just give you John Havlicek's numbers in 1971 and 1972?
Yes.
Okay. Those two seasons, he played 163 of 164 games, averaged over 45 minutes per game. Those are numbers that nobody would come close to today. And remember, that's when they were flying coach. You know, here's his numbers that year. 28.2 points, 8.6 rebounds, 7.5 assists. That's bonkers in any era.
I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. For his career, he played 1,270 games, but he put up 21-6-5, made 8 All-NBA teams. Oh, and he won 8 titles.
That's good, right? 8 is good?
Yeah. So, yeah. So here's the reason that he's only number 29. His career PR is 17.5, which is by far the lowest of anyone in my top 50. And he ultimately was never the best player on a title-winning team. So who's your 29?
My 29 is Steve Nash.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, but last week you admitted that... Oh, yeah, you don't remember anything you said last week.
I was very tired last week. Good news, I'm much more tired this week.
Last week you admitted that Nash should be below Peyton and Kidd because of defense.
Below Peyton and Kidd?
Yeah. Last week we discussed...
Who says I don't have Peyton and Kidd coming up still?
All right, so your top 25 is all point guards. Got it. All right.
I don't have... Gary Payton is not coming up on my list.
Okay, all right. Speaking of point guards, so number 28 on my list is John Stockton, who is the ultimate second banana. He's the only guy in my top 30 who wasn't a perennial MVP candidate. In fact, he's the only guy in my top 30 who never was a top 5 MVP candidate.
Yeah.
But that's because Karl Malone was on his team.
No, but here's the thing. I've been thinking about this a lot with Stockton. I spent a lot of time thinking about where I would rank him. If you gave every GM in the NBA, or the smart ones, take out the 12 real dummies right now, and they could analyze their careers. Like, and you say, would you rather have Isaiah Thomas or John Stockton? I do think the majority are taking Isaiah Thomas.
No, you're wrong.
If John Stockton is your best player, if Isaiah Thomas is your best player, you have won a championship. Like, they won a championship.
There is no chance you win a championship with Isaiah Thomas as your best player. There is no chance.
Wait, didn't it happen? Who was their best player?
Did you listen to anything I said last week? They also won a championship with Chauncey Billups as their best player in 2004. They didn't win because Chauncey was their best player or because Isaiah was their best player. They won because they had the really deep team with 5 or 6 all-star caliber guys.
So a minute ago you said...
They had Dennis Rodman and Bill Laimbeer and Joe Dumars.
There is no chance that you win a championship with Isaiah Thomas as your best
what
player.
What you mean as an alpha.
And then proceeded to admit that they did, in fact, win a championship.
Not because he was their best player.
In spite of Isaiah Thomas, who was their best player, they won the title.
Well, actually, Bill Laimbeer was statistically their best player all those years. Most of those years, anyways. Dennis Rodman was their best player a couple of those years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they also had Adrian Dantley. They had Vinnie Johnson.
They were a great team.
Yeah.
Best player, championship team, Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, if you put John Stockton on the 04 Pistons, they win more easily. And if you put him on the 89 and 90 Pistons, they probably win as well.
All right, so, agree to disagree.
Okay. Also, hold on. If you want to compare the two players, Isaiah Thomas played 900 games and John Stockton played 1,500 games.
Okay, yeah.
So John Stockton's career was 60% longer. Mm-hmm. And John Stockton, by the way, his PR was 22, 4 points higher than Isaiah's. His win share is 208. Isaiah's was 80. John Stockton, 11 times an All-NBA player, according to the actual voters, 12 times according to me. Whereas Isaiah was 5 times. John Stockton, 5 times an all-defensive player.
How many, 100-year-old basketball leagues did John Stockton ruin? How many $12 million lawsuits did John Stockton force by sleeping with some lady in a van?
But as you remember when I said at the top of last week's podcast, it's about the length of career also. But even the point is, Stockton, if his career was as long as Isaiah's, is still better. But Kavach, but all the more so, I almost slipped there, all the more so when you add over 500 more games that he played, right? That's versus 8 seasons of a replacement point guard, right? Would you rather have Isaiah for 980 games and some replacement level guy for 600 games or Stockton for 1,500? I mean, then it's a no-brainer. Stockton's the all-time leader in assists and steals, and neither of those records will ever be broken. He's third all-time in games played. In his prime, he was putting up 14 assists per game. He's fifth all-time in win shares, by the way, although he's probably going to drop to 8th by the end of next year. Actually, he's not, because he's right ahead of Duncan, but Duncan just retired, and KG might be done. But he'll drop to 7th because Dirk and LeBron are right behind him as well. He never won a ring, that's true, but though the Jazz in 97 and 98 were historically great teams, and they just ran into the Bulls when they were historically great. So he never won a ring. The only guys in my top 30 without a ring, by the way, are Barkley, Karl Malone, Elgin Baylor, Chris Paul, and John Stockton.
Okay. Can you believe that Isaiah is still the president of a WNBA team. That's not insane. Yeah, it's insane. Oh. And Bill Laimbeer is his head coach.
He must have pictures of
Isaiah, James of Dolan.
Yeah, there's no other logical explanation.
What pictures of him playing the guitar?
Yeah, so who's number 28 on your list?
28 is Kevin Durant.
Okay, that's fine. I have him at 33. As I said, he's on the way up.
Yeah, and listen, if I put Durant at 20, that's not even wrong, because there's no way he's ending up anywhere below that, I don't think.
Well, if he, God forbid, dropped dead tomorrow, then he's only played 640 games in his career.
Yeah, so. It's fair, but I think, you know, yeah. 90th you said, you're percentile of likeliness is he finishes in the top 20. So I have Durant at 28.
ESPN
and,
had Durant at 22 on their list when
totally
their list came
reasonable.
Out in February. Yeah, except they had Steph Curry.
He's so
they
young.
Steph Curry. They had Steph Curry at 23.
That's not reasonable.
Yeah.
One more year, maybe.
Yeah. All right, okay. So number 27 on my list is Rick Barry.
Mm-hmm. Did not make my list.
Okay, so Rick Barry is polarizing because he was an asshole. And he had a weird career. He went to the ABA. He feuded with people. He missed tons
did
of
you know he,
injuries.
Did you know he shot free throws underhand? I read that in the same book that told me that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
He also played during the league's weakest eras, but still he was dominant from the three, which is an unusual spot for dominance.
Missed the season of his career in his basically when his prime was starting.
Yeah, well, because he transferred to the ABA and because of the reserve clause, he had to sit out a season. He also missed a bunch of time to injuries, but he led the 75 Warriors to a title. He was, nobody had a will to win more than he did just
but
about.
But the thing about the 75 Warriors is his numbers are incredible, right? 30.5 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals a game. He never came close to matching those numbers again, though.
Well, I mean, his ABA numbers, he had like 35 points per game.
Oh, yeah, no, but in the NBA I'm talking about. In the ABA, he had better numbers. He had 35 and a 34.
Yeah, but he also, but those are like half seasons because of injuries.
Yes, that's by far the best season of his career. Everything else was like 21, 22,
for his career, 21. He averaged 25, 7, and 5 for his career.
In the NBA, only 23, though.
No, in his career as a whole, he averaged 25 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists per game.
Yeah, but you're including the ABA, and I'm not.
Yeah, I'm including all his numbers.
Yeah, but the ABA is easier competition. Why are we including it?
Yeah. Well, we discussed this last week also. Do you remember anything that happened last week?
What is Rick Barry's NBA playoff legacy?
Well, that he won the 75 title.
Yeah, just that he won the 75 title. I mean, he was amazing in 77 also. I think they played 2 rounds in 77. And his rookie, his one NBA year, he averaged 35 points a game in his rookie season also.
Yeah, I'll note, by the way, I have him a little bit lower rated than a lot of people do. I had him once. I gave him a fourth place MVP vote. That's it. I have him only a 4-time All-NBA first team, whereas in reality he got 9 of them. And
you know if you see, then you can't answer. Do you know who he went to college? You wouldn't get it on 10 guesses.
Rick Barry. Well, if I won't get it, then just tell me.
University of Miami.
Oh, we're not a guess that.
I'm saying like nobody, now it's become a better basketball school, but nobody would have guessed that back in the day.
All right. So Rick Barry, by the way, he was featured on 2 podcasts this week or in the last couple of weeks.
2?
Both. Yeah. Well, This American Life. It was really the same podcast.
Same podcast, just, no?
Yeah. It was This American Life.
Have you listened to the Malcolm Gladwell podcast revisions?
I've listened to all of them so far.
They're very good, right?
Very good, yeah.
So when I give you a podcast recommendation, it's good, except you didn't like Doughboys, which is the best podcast in the game.
Well, I don't like your comedy recommendations.
Yeah.
Because I don't really like comedy podcasts generally.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're a fan of comedy.
Says the guy who had no comedies in his TV or movie rankings. All right, okay, so let's keep moving ahead. Okay, so wait, so I have Rick Barry at 27. Who do you have at 27?
My 27 is Dwayne Wade.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Wait, where did you put Dwayne Wade?
Again, discussed at length
last
week.
I memorized? I know we talked about him. I don't know the exact number. It's a fair question.
Do you remember me noting that Bill Simmons has him 25th all time and you saying in response, yeah, I can't agree with Simmons there. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number 26, Bob Cousy. First great point guard, really the first great non-center. He defined what it meant to be a point guard for the league's first 15 years, based until Oscar took over. He won 6 titles, but really those were Russell's teams.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's hard to judge.
Very
hard to judge. How would he play in any other era? Yeah, and that's really true.
Any other era, or just even another team in his era without Bill Russell?
No, because before Bill Russell came, he started in 1950. He was an MVP of the league before Bill Russell showed up.
Yeah, that's true. But the 1950 competition was like him and Mike and...
Yeah. Well, and the next guy on my list, who we'll get to in a second. So who do you have at 26?
Well, Cousy didn't make my list, but I have no knock against Cousy. I just didn't know what to do with him.
Okay, that's fine.
And his career is pretty short compared to most of these guys. 924 games.
there's 6 guys ahead of him with fewer games. 7, including Magic and Bird and a bunch of guys at the top of my list. His career is as long as Bill Russell's. And also remember, they were only playing like 72 games a year for most of his career.
True.
So that 14-year career, you add another, 10 games a season. All
so that's
of a sudden,
26?
He's well over 1,000. That's 26, yeah.
So my 26 is John Stockton.
Okay, so I had him at 28, so that's very close. Mm-hmm. All right, so number 25, the highest and in the top 100 anyway, only Jew on my list.
Ooh.
The league's first great forward. Dolph Schayes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't include Dolph Schayes in my list.
He played an incredible 1,000 games. You just said, by the way, Cousy's career was short at 924. That's very long. And the fact that Dolph played 1,000 games is insane, especially for his era, considering how, as I said, the seasons were actually 70 games for most of Dolph Schayes' career.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph started in 49. He retired as the league's all-time leader in everything. Scoring, rebounds, everything. And even 52 years after he retired, he's still top 30 all-time in win shares. And he's one of only 6 players in NBA history to average 18 and 12.
Yeah.
Those are Wilt, Artis, Moses, Bellamy, Hayes, and Dolph.
But his scoring numbers for a dominant player aren't that special. And
what are you talking about? He played 1,000 games and averaged 18 and a half points a game.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Tim Duncan only scored 19 points a game. Bill Russell scored.
Time
these
out.
Guys
time
above
out.
Him who
time
scored
out.
Less.
Time out.
Bill Russell.
Time out.
Yeah.
Dolph
yeah.
Schayes shot 38% from the field.
Yeah, look at what the league shooting percentage
okay,
was
but
back
how
then.
Do like? But then how do you get away with? He was just a high usage. He was that
no, he
era's
wasn't.
Jewish Marbury.
No,
he was
wasn't.
Jewish Marbury.
No, look, the league as a whole shot 33%.
So everyone was bad at basketball, and we're supposed to like reward that era by putting him in our top 25.
In the pre-shot clock era, look at Bill Russell's shooting for his career. Bill Russell was a worse shooter than Dolph Schayes. Dolph Schayes' true shooting percentage for his career is 489. Bill Russell's is 471. Bill Russell was a significantly worse shooter than Dolph Schayes.
His closest comp is Adrian Dantley. Where's he on your list?
Adrian Dantley was, I think, 40.
Okay, that's where Dolph Schayes belongs.
No, he retired as the career leader in everything, as I said. Point. He was the best player in NBA history when he retired. He retired as number one.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him, but the 38% from the floor really knocks him out of my top 25. Or top
okay,
30.
So I guess Bill Russell's not on your list either.
Russell, listen, because you're bragging about 12 rebounds a game, and Russell's putting up 30 rebounds a game.
No, first, but they're completely different players. Dolph Schayes was a much better scorer also.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph Schayes...
How many
PR
titles did Dolph Schayes win?
In 55, he won a title for the Nets, and he was playoffs MVP. His career PR, by the way, is 22.
So less than 10, right? Less than
Bill
10?
Russell's career PR is 19.
Oh, boy.
So his PR is much better.
All right, so why don't you put Bill Russell in like at number 18 or something?
The experts love Dolph Schayes. The best list of any I've seen is Zach Pelton at ESPN, who's a stats guy, and he has Dolph Schayes at number 23.
Okay.
The stats guy doesn't have a problem with Dolph Schayes' shooting percentage because he understands the context of the game, how it was played at the time.
I don't have a problem with Dolph Schayes, but there's enough warts in his resume that I have him down there. So
really, Wart is he played in a different era.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I also met Dolph Schayes. And,
so if somebody meets you, so like, I hope you meet Donald Trump.
Yeah, I met him in a 3-on-3 Jewish basketball tournament in Philadelphia.
Yeah, did he win? His team won?
No, he was 88 years old. He was just like the honorary like coin flipper referee or whatever.
All right, so at 25, I have Isaiah Thomas.
All right, obscene.
Better than Dolph
whatever.
Schayes.
Oh, my God. Offensive. All right. Number 24.
Mm-hmm.
The first super-duper star in the league.
Yeah. I would say my 24, not a super-duper star. But keep going.
Elgin Baylor.
Uh-huh.
For his career, 27-13-4. The only person to match those numbers is Wilt Chamberlain.
Yep.
Can I just give you Elgin's numbers in 61 and 62?
Please. And I have Elgin higher than you, so you don't have to sell me on him. But yeah.
In 61, he averaged 35-20-5.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be outdone, the next year he averaged 38-19-5.
Wow.
Those are the first 2 years, by the way, after the Lakers moved from Minneapolis to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
He teamed up with Jerry West to form the best 1-2 punch in league history.
Yeah.
And I'm very careful when I say that. The reason I say that is because Wilt, Kareem Magic, Shaq Kobe, Duncan Robinson, Dr. J. Moses, they were not all at their super-duper peaks the way that Baylor and West were.
Mm-hmm.
And tragedy, of course, for Baylor is they kept running into the ridiculous Celtics. They can never win a title. And then he retires 9 games into the 72 season, in which the Lakers not only win a title but set an NBA record with 69 wins.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he's this low is his career was very short, only 800 games. And the advanced stats are not very friendly to him either.
No.
All right. So who's number 24 on your list? I think I know who's coming.
One, Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. All right. We'll save Garnett for when I get him.
Okay.
But whatever. It's not atrocious.
Oh, so you're saying he made your top 24, Garnett.
Yes, he did. All right, number 23.
Ironically,
on my
he never averaged 24 points a game. So that's, you know.
Yes, he did. In 2004, when he won the MVP, he did.
Not in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did several times in the playoffs. What are you talking about?
He averaged his career high in the playoffs was 22, I think.
That's completely false. He averaged 27 once.
Yeah,
he averaged
you're right.
24
three
twice.
Years. Three times he did.
Yeah. In the 2004 playoffs, he averaged 24, 15, and 5 over 18 games. He was playoffs MVP.
I don't know,
that
2014,
year, by the way,
when the GOAT Timmy was still, you know, being the best player on the championship team, Kevin Garnett was averaging 6.9 points a game for a pathetic Brooklyn Nets team.
Yeah, Tim Duncan was definitely better that year, but in the previous
definitely
years,
better. He was the best player on the team that won the championship.
Hold on.
The year before, he had 30 points at halftime of game six.
We will get to Garnett seven. Versus Duncan. Don't worry. All in good time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So number 23 on my list.
There's nothing to
get
to. What is get? Or are we going to compare every single player?
Now, 23 on my list, a guy who is probably not on your list because you don't know what you're doing. Artis Gilmore, without a doubt, the most underrated player in history. He did not even make the Hall of Fame until a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't on the 50 at 50 list.
Right.
Other lists have him as, Slam has him as 84.
Yep.
The only other person who has him in the top 50 is Kevin Pelton, who, as I said, is the smartest guy. He's ESPN stats guy, who has him at 29, which is very close to where I have him.
You know the ABA used to play 84 games, not 82?
Yeah, yes.
It's funny.
All right.
I think the NHL played 84 games for a couple years, too, maybe. Am I crazy?
Well, because I think the WHL did also, so they were comping them. All right, so a couple points about Artis Gilmore. Number one, it's obvious that people ignore what Artis Gilmore did in the ABA because there's no other logical reason to understand how disrespected he's been. And that's unfair because he was tied with Dr. J as the greatest ABA player ever, and Dr. J gets all the credit for his ABA success, but for some reason Artis doesn't. So it's true that by the time he got to the NBA, he was no longer like a top five MVP caliber player like he was in the ABA, but he was still a perennial all-star.
Mm-hmm.
He was still elite defensively. He made 5 all-defensive nods in the NBA. He's 10th all-time in win shares. He's 15th all-time in games. He's the only player ever to average 18, 12, and 2 in over 1,300 games. So Artis Gilmore deserves a lot more respect.
Yeah, he barely played 40 playoff games in his career in the NBA.
Because most of his career was in the ABA.
I know, but I'm saying, like, so it's hard to really give him too much credit for anything that happens in the NBA, you know, wins-wise.
Well, he was a playoff MVP in the ABA, and he won a title.
I do agree he's very underrated. I do think I should have given him more of a crack. His number one comp, Shaquille O'Neal.
All right, yeah, who's your number 23?
My 23 is Jason Kidd.
Oh, my God. Wait, you have Jason Kidd ahead of Kevin Garnett?
Well.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the most. I mean, now you're just being a troll.
I'm not
that's
being
insane.
A troll.
There was no moment in their careers, and they started at the exact same time,
mm-hmm.
that anybody would have picked Jason Kidd over Kevin Garnett in a million. If you had Tim Duncan and Chris Webber on your team and no point guard, you wouldn't have taken Jason Kidd over Kevin Garnett.
Because
Garnett could play point. Garnett can play point as he did in the 2004 playoffs after Sam Cassell went down.
I mean, Kidd brings a horrible team to the brink of a championship 2 years in a row.
Okay, so hold
Garnett,
on.
Garnett brought horrible teams to the first round of the playoffs 10 seasons in a row without getting out of them.
Oh, my God. All right. Now you've really started something.
Well, you know who started it? Garnett, by never getting out of the first round of the playoffs for his entire career until he went to Boston. And,
Hold on. Should we run through the numbers that he put up in the playoffs those years he didn't get out? The year that he put up 27, 16, and 5 or 24, 19, and 5?
Guess what? He should have put up 35, 20, and 7.
That's idiotic.
It's not idiotic.
Game. His team was atrocious.
Jason Kidd, the person we're talking about now.
Hold on, Kevin Garnett.
We're talking about, it's my ranking. Jason Kidd, the person we're talking about now, was on a bad team. But when they were putting up a fight against my beloved San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Finals, who came around and said, you know what? I'm averaging 26 and 17 like you're yelling about Garnett did. That's not enough. Got to up my game to the next level. A level Kevin Garnett did not have.
All right. And
almost had a quadruple double in game 6 of the NBA Finals.
All right. Was that when he put up 20 and 18?
When Duncan had a quadruple double minus one block or something like that. While, you know, Kevin Garnett had a quadruple double at McDonald's that day.
Hold on. Okay. So nobody else, just so you know, vis-a-vis Jason Kidd, nobody else is Jason Kidd. Only one person has him even in the top 30, Mm-hmm. And that was a list from 2011, and so that didn't have Wade and Durant and Paul, and so you know he's definitely outside the top. So there's no way he's a top 30 player.
Okay.
But Jared, the aforementioned Jared Jerome, he had him as high as you did as well.
Yeah.
And the reason was great. Hold on. And the reason was because he credited him with taking a team to the finals twice. So we're gonna get to that in a second. First of all, let me mention what Jason Kidd was in his peak, which was 99 and 2003. Okay. Those are the only 5 years he got MVP consideration. This is where he finished an MVP. 7th, 14th, 16th, 12th, 7th. Twice in his career, a top 10 player in the league.
I have different MVP numbers than you, by the way.
Okay. But here's my biggest issue with him. You credit him for leading the Nets to the back-to-back finals. I don't think you realize how historically horrible the East was in those years. The East is always worse than the West. This is historically speaking. I wish
Minnesota, which is the easternmost team, in the West had been in the East, so they could have lost the Cleveland Cavaliers before LeBron in the first round.
Let's talk about this. In 2002, the Nets won 52 games and were the number one seed in the East. They would not have made the playoffs in the West that year.
The 52 games?
They would not have made the playoffs, okay? Mm-hmm. The Jazz were the 8 seed that year.
Listen, they were able to take their foot off the gas.
Yeah.
They could rest Van Horn for the big games
The Jazz were the 8 seed that year.
Yeah.
Remember, the Jazz, because they're in the West and all the West teams, had to play the other West teams 4 times a year and the East teams only twice, whereas the Nets did the opposite.
Oh, thanks for explaining the NBA to me.
Yes. The Jazz record versus the East was better than the Nets record versus the West. So the Nets should not have been in the playoffs. They were the 1
seed.
Obviously,
the Nets record versus the West is going to be worse than any team versus the East. These sucked.
But that's my point. But that if you flip the number of games that each played, they would not have been in the playoffs. That's my point.
Okay.
They only made the playoffs because of their schedule.
They made it there. They were respectable Twins. Even in the finals.
Hold on. Hold on. We're getting there. To get to the finals, the Nets played 3 mediocre 500 teams, none of whom would have won even 30 games in the West.
Yeah, boy.
Then they got to the finals and were swept in 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't give Kidd credit for that unless you give credit to a guy who leads some random mid-major to a conference title on NCAA berth and lose by 50 in the first round. So 2002, they get destroyed in the finals. Mm-hmm. They have they're atrocious. So now we get to 2003, which is what you referenced in the finals, 2003 against the Spurs.
Yeah.
In 2003, the East was even more of a joke. Nobody in the entire conference won 50 games.
Yep.
6 teams in the West won 50 games. And again, remember, the West was playing far harder schedules.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets, 49 games they won that year, included they were 1 game over 500 against the West.
Mm-hmm.
The 6, 7, 8 seeds in the West had a 63% winning percentage against the East. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, I'll say this. I will give the Nets credit. They were better in the playoffs than they were the previous year. They went 12-2 against the abysmal East, and they did drag the Spurs to 6 games. But the point is, they wouldn't have even been in the playoffs at all if they were in the West.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Do you remember the year that Albert Pujols won because Ryan Howard won the MVP over him?
Yeah.
Because Pujols said, I made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I made the playoffs, and he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That year, the Cardinals won 87 games, and the Phillies won 91 games.
Right.
Now, the Cardinals actually ended up winning the World Series, but that's besides the point.
Worst team to ever win the World Series.
Yeah. Well, I think the 87 Twins are in that conversation also.
I freaking hate. Look, I mean, because they beat the Mets, so I think about that team every day.
And but yeah, the cards that year were bad, but they were good. But they were great for that era. That was just their worst year, ironically, that they won. But the point
Braden
is,
Looper.
The Cardinals only made the playoffs. And look, as a Twins fan, I benefited from this in the last decade.
Josh
when the Twins would win the division with 88 wins, it seems like the Blue Jays would miss the playoffs. Are you still whining about the 2006?
Yeah, keep going. I'm just going to name the entire. Yeah.
Anyways, so Jason Kidd's team would not have even been in the playoffs if they weren't in the East.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then they went to the finals because he was playing an atrocious team. Kevin Garnett's team won way more games with a way tougher schedule every single one of those years, but they had to play the Spurs in the first round of the playoffs, so the Lakers every single year.
So to Gucci. Yeah, keep going.
Enough with your so to Gucci.
Juan Encarnacion. What a terrible team.
Yeah, anyway, so Jason
Scott Rowland was okay.
You have him so insanely overrated. Also the fact that he couldn't hit the jumper.
Scott Spezio.
All right, are you done?
Mark Mulder.
All right, let's get to number 22
Jeff Supon
on the list.
Pitches game 7 in the NLCS, shuts down.
Okay, are you ready to get to number 22
Jason
on your list?
Jason Marquis. Yeah, and then remember, Kidd wins the
Jason
title.
Jason Marquis, another Jew, by the way.
Oh, who cares? He wins the title at age 37 as a starting point guard, Kidd, to top off his wonderful career.
Yeah, and unlike Gary Payton, he was like the third or fourth best player on that team.
Now, if you
and
want to, yeah.
The 2011 finals, by the way, go down in history, is one of the craziest things to ever happen. It's insane that they won.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to Dirk in a second, but let's get to number 22, and that's Charles Barkley.
Okay. No, for me, it's Chris Paul.
Okay.
I know you think that's a little high, but again, we're projecting a little bit.
You have these guys ahead of Garnett. It's insane. All right, so here's the crazy thing about Charles Barkley.
Garnett's career is over. Chris Paul could go win 5 championships tomorrow.
Okay.
If he joins the Warriors.
Yeah. So here's the crazy thing about Charles Barkley. He has become more overrated the further we get from his career. When he was retired,
mm-hmm.
he was, and I have the list from when he retired. When he was retired, he was considered about the 25th or 24th best player of all time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Since then, a whole bunch of guys who are not in the top 25 that have entered the list. Shaq, LeBron, Duncan, KG, Kobe, Dirk, etc. And yet, since then, Charles Barkley has gone up on a bunch of lists. Now, they have him at 20th, a bunch of lists that I've seen. One list even has him at 18th, one list has him at 19th, and they have him above a couple of the power forwards I just mentioned. So we got to point out a couple things here. First of all, the reason Barkley's going up is because everybody loves him on TNT, which is stupid. That's got nothing to do with how he played. Let's remember how he played. Number one, Barkley did not play defense at all. At all.
Don't you think ultimately the reason why Barkley is so hard to rank is because just like physically, he's such an unusual player and we have no real parallel to him?
But who cares that he was 6'4"? Pretend he's 6'10". It's the same thing. He was a great scorer, good rebounder, great mid-range shooter. He played no defense. None.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two, he was always surrounded by tons of talent. He joins the mid-'80s Sixers, those Sixers basically had all-stars at every single guy on the floor. They had Moses Malone, they had Dr. J, they had Mo Cheeks, they had Bobby Jones. Can't win a title there. Demands a trade, goes to the Suns. Those early 90s Suns, as we talk about Kevin Johnson, who should be in the Hall of Fame, one of the most underrated guys, Dan Marley, great teams. Demands a trade there, goes to the Rockets, where they have Akeem, who's still playing like a superstar, and Clyde Drexler, who is on the way down, and then Scottie Pippen. All of that together, he only makes one finals. He was always a playoff letdown. Mm-hmm. His career was also shorter than almost everybody else on my list. He played 1,073 games, which is not bad. But Karl Malone and KG are both in the 1,400s. Thompson. Duncan and Dirk are both in the 1,300s. So his career is 30 to 40% shorter than his competition. And so you can't be ranked higher than those guys, especially when you don't play defense. So where do you have Charles Barkley ranked?
Well, we'll get to Barkley soon.
So you didn't listen to what I just said?
I did.
Okay, so his career was 40% shorter than Garnett.
Defense. You convinced me.
How do you justify having him ahead of Garnett when he played 40%?
I'm not even
games?
Up to him yet. Maybe he's number one on my list, dummy. But what, like, and you act like you I have him higher than you by a few numbers, not by a ton, and you are freaking out and you say, "Didn't you hear what I just said?" As if I'm supposed to change my list now because you made such an eloquent argument for Barkley being lower.
But I'm not.
Do you want me to change my list? Should I just make my list your list and we can have the exact same list?
Well, I'm asking you, how do you justify having him ahead
we're
of
not
Garnett,
up to
for
him
example?
Yet.
Why is he ahead of Garnett?
Everyone should be ahead of Garnett. Garnett is lucky he made my top 50. I think Terrell Brandon was really the brains of that team.
You're such a troll. That's the problem. You don't take this seriously.
I'm taking this very seriously. No, it's been a lot of time
in
these
tell.
Rankings.
I did. I can tell you did. Yeah.
I really did.
All right. Okay, so
but
number 21.
I did lie about something. Steph Curry is my 21. It is stupid that they project him now, but I did it too.
Wait, are you being serious?
Yeah, I made him 21.
What?
He's gonna end up being like the eighth best player of all time.
Okay, so when? First of all, no, he's not.
He's not going to be lower than 21. Here's what I figure.
You want to bet right now? You want to bet right now? Steph, we've seen the best of Steph Curry. Steph Curry's finished. Yeah. Especially
he's
now
finished.
Joins the team.
He's finished.
He will never win an MVP ever again. How much?
It's hard to win an MVP. He may be the MVP.
Let's bet $1,000 on that.
No, because why would he ever win an MVP when
right,
he has Kevin Durant and Draymond Green on his team?
He will never be first on his team in MVP votes again. You want to bet on that?
Okay, he has an immortal player on his team with him.
Wait, so Kevin Durant's also going to be a top eight player all time? The top eight is going to be this whole Warriors team.
I mean, it's going to be like the Boston Celtics. It's going to be hard to...
You realize you can only have eight guys in the top eight.
Yeah.
And that's a theme we'll get to with Kobe. Everybody loves to call Kobe a top 10 player, but literally nobody who's actually made a list has him in the top 10 because... The top 10 has to have 10 guys.
Right.
So you can't put more guys in the top 10.
It's Dolph Schayes for the century, 38%. Yeah. I think, listen, Curry is not getting worse. You're just being a troll and saying stupid things that no one else
agrees
with.
I love Steph Curry.
No, you don't. You just said he's never getting better again. And
have you looked at the projections? What he's done the last 2 years was insane and was because of a system. He's very, very good.
Oh,
I love
you're
Steph
saying
Curry's-
nobody's ever done it before and not that, like we should be like, oh, we should really rewrite the books. Because
he's the
so
greatest
great.
Shooter in NBA history. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. We've seen what happened to him in the playoffs the last 2 years.
What's the point of basketball to shoot? So if he's the greatest shooter in NBA history, why is he going to be below Elgin Baylor historically?
Because the previous greatest shooters, Reggie Miller and Ray Allen, you don't even have him in your top 50.
Well,
apparently.
It's a different era where the three-pointer was not, as we established in the last podcast, not really important back then.
In Ray Allen's era, it wasn't important? What are you talking about?
It was, but Ray Allen wasn't a great player. Steph Curry is, you know...
Ray Allen wasn't a great player? Oh, my God. How much pot are you smoking?
Was he ever the... He was a very, very good player. Listen, I love Ray Allen. I'm a UConn fan. And Ray Allen is the best player to ever go to UConn. But
all right.
But anyways, but Curry was the best player on the team that won the championship.
If we made this list in 2011, you would have had Derrick Rose in your top 10.
How about instead of projecting Rose, because Rose was always injury prone.
How about no? In 2011, he was. Well, how about we do this based on performance, not based on what you think is going to happen in the future?
I got to project out.
Okay. All right. Number 21 on my list. Your list is I mean, I've seen some bad lists, but your list is worse than like.
No, it's my list is way better than Simmons. I couldn't believe how bad Simmons' list was.
Your list is worse than Bleacher Report. Simmons' list is from 2009. All right. Okay. Number 21 on my list is Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay.
Okay. The reason I have Dirk higher than Barkley, I have one spot higher, is very simple. He's played 300 more games. That's the equivalent of four full seasons. And Dirk is still going. He's eighth all time in points. He might make the top five. He's never been good defensively, but he tries much harder than Barkley. And we have to give him props for that insane title in 2011. It makes up for the one in 2006 he should have won that the ref stole from him. And he's also had a bunch of postseason letdowns. I mean, his team lost to the eight seed once. You know, he really had a lot of bad playoffs. But in 2011, he made up for all of it when his team won just one of the greatest upsets of all time. It's incredible that that happened.
Yes.
He also deserved to win two MVPs. He only won one because Nash stole one of them. He's considered revolutionary because of his shooting, which I think is a bit overrated because Bird did the same thing a couple generations before. And like people say, oh, well, Bird was a small forward, not a power forward. But first of all, that's not even true. Bird was power forward the first few years of his career. And the only reason he was a small forward is because they had Parrish and McHale on the team. But, you know, it was more big-friendly era. But if Bird played today, he'd obviously be a four. And not like a stretch four. He'd be like a legitimate four. So that's why I have Dirk this high. And I can't have Dirk higher than, like, KG, for example, because, very simply, KG is one of the greatest three or four defensive players of all time. And Dirk is below average on that half of the floor.
Okay.
Where do you have Dirk?
If we get to him, we'll get to him.
This is Alex chiming in after the fact with an editor's note. And a spoiler alert. We don't get to him. Akiva did not rank Dirk at all. And when I asked Akiva later, why didn't you rank Dirk? He said, oh yeah, I just forgot. So just remember, we're talking about a guy who's spent blood, sweat, and tears in years making his list over a guy who, oops, forgot Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, you're such a troll. All right. Number 20, Bob Pettit.
Yeah.
Where's he on your list?
I think he's like 37.
So Bob Pettit, all he did was average 26 and 16. His dominance at power forward blew Dolph Schayes out of the water. He took the reins from Mike and as the NBA's dominant player. I mean, those absurd career averages, that 26 and 16, matched only by Wilt. The only downside for Bob Pettit is he only won a single title despite playing in like a 10 or 12 team league, and his career was only 11 years long. Other than a couple of active guys and Mike and nobody in my top 50 has a career that short. But if he played a couple more All-Star years, he'd be top 15 for sure. And he's totally forgotten. When people talk about greatest power forward ever, you know, Bob Pettit's numbers blow. Duncan Malone, everybody's numbers are blown out of the water.
He was very good, Bob Pettit.
Yeah. All right. Number 19, David Robinson.
My 20 was the best ball himself, Elgin Baylor.
Oh, okay. All right, number 19, David Robinson. David Robinson's stats are incredible. Bill Simmons once said that 30 years from now, people who never saw them play will think he was better than Akeem.
Yeah.
And you know what my response is to that is?
Yeah.
Maybe he was.
Nah, obviously I love David Robinson. I bought David Robinson socks recently that, you know, have his whole body on them dunking, and I'm a grown-up, and I have David Robinson socks. But ultimately, Hakeem and David Robinson went up against each other in their prime, and Akeem owned David Robinson. So I couldn't put Robinson ahead of Akeem. It's not possible.
Okay, now let me give the counterpoint. And first, I have Akeem higher than Robinson because his career is way longer. Yeah. But Akeem's teams had down seasons. Akeem missed the playoffs several times, which Robinson never did.
Yeah, never did.
Now, Akeem won those two titles, and Robinson didn't really, you know, he didn't do much in the playoffs until Duncan showed up, and it was, you know, immediately seen as Duncan's team.
He didn't but do really, much? He did a lot in the playoffs. You mean he didn't go far?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, until Duncan
They never
showed
made
up,
a conference finals, I believe.
Yeah. But, you know, what I'll say, basically, the biggest issue is Robinson's career is so short because he joined the league when he was 24 years old.
Yeah.
He's dominant on both ends.
I was hoping you would support the troops, but clearly you don't.
Yeah. He's one of my three favorite players of all time. His 1994 is one of only 16 seasons ever with 20 win shares.
Yeah.
Can I give you the list of guys who've had a 20 win share season?
Well, hold on. Well, it's not going to impress me because he's David Robinson. There's no one else who even belongs on the list with him.
Kareem, Wilt, Michael, MJ, Oscar, or LeBron.
I believe in different years, David Robinson won a scoring title, a different year, a rebounding title, a different year, a blocks title, a different year was named Defensive Player of the Year, and a fifth year was named MVP.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I love David Robinson.
Not bad.
I love David Robinson.
And I'll be the first to admit that his scoring title, which should have like a mini 30 for 30 on it, is completely illegitimate. Why? 71 points against the Clippers on the final night of the season.
Last game of the year. Yeah. Well, we saw what happened with Kobe the last night of the season.
Yeah. It would have been funny if that was for the scoring title. So many hot takes.
Kobe would have shot 70 times.
Oh, yeah. He would have scored 150.
Kobe would still be shooting. Yeah. They would have like added 10 minutes to the game extra just to let him keep shooting. But yeah. But the bottom line for Robinson, again, it's about career length. He played under 1,000 games. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to compare that to guys, you know, like the next two guys on my list who played almost 1,500 games.
But we don't punish Joe DiMaggio for missing like three, Ted Williams, I mean, for missing all those years for the Army. So I don't know why we're
playing. Yeah, well. So
he goes to college for 4 years. Like Robinson literally misses 6 or 7 years for college slash, you know, Navy.
What are you talking about? He joined league at 24. He missed 3 years or 4 years at the most.
No, these guys all came in at 18. So he plays 1 year in college.
Kevin Garnett was the first guy to come in under 20 in 20 years.
My point, I just said that had he been born in a different era and not gone to the Navy, he could have played another 5 years easily.
Okay, so that's fair. I agree with you about that. But again, it's not about potential. Like we said with Kevin McHale, it's about what he actually did. And what he actually did was he played, you know, Moses Malone and Kevin Garnett's careers were 50% longer than David Robinson's.
Yep. So. Yeah, no, listen.
I love David Robinson. Also, can we just point out David Robinson's body, not just the greatest basketball body of all time, mm-hmm. probably one of the greatest three or four human bodies ever created.
Yeah, he's a smoke show. Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. go to his picture on his basketballreference.com page. He's just shooting a free throw. But it's like incredible. Yeah, so that's David Robinson for you, number 19. Yeah, who's number 19 on your
list? Never heard anybody say anything bad about Robinson.
Yeah, and he's still got a 32 waist, unlike Jerry Seinfeld. Who's number 19 on your list?
The round mound of rebound.
All right, so again, didn't play defense, but I guess.
Okay, listen, yeah, I guess you don't appreciate people who shoot 58% in their career from 2-point range.
Yeah, he was a very good shooter. Very good shooter.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's the point of basketball? To get snacks at halftime? He was probably the best at that, too. But, like, he was an amazing shooter, an amazing
rebounder.
The
point of basketball is to get wins, and his win shares are, you know, even David Robinson has more win shares than Charles Barkley.
Listen, his closest comps are Dr. J and Kevin Garnett, people right there with him in these rankings.
Yeah, those are close comps, except for the fact that he didn't play defense at all, and Kevin Garnett is one of the greatest defensive players of all time.
MVP votes, 6th, 6th, 4th, 6th, 2nd, 4th, 12th, MVP, 10th, 6th, 12th, 16th.
Who are you talking about? Barkley?
Yeah.
Okay, now should we talk about what his MVP votes should have actually been?
Yeah, in the Chester VP, Chest VP?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's VVP, we call them.
I have him with a total of 14 votes, and mm-hmm. hold on, let's do year by year.
14 receiving votes, you mean?
Okay. Starting in 86.
Yeah.
6th, 5th, 5th, 4th, 4th, 6th, 18th, 3rd.
Yeah.
That's the year he won, but he should not have won it over Jordan in 93, although that was a very close year.
And who should have been second? Malone?
Akeem. Akeem, Barkley, and Jordan were incredibly close in the vote. It's one of the closest votes ever, and there's an argument for all three. But again, Jordan and Akeem, two of the greatest defense players of all time. Barkley played no defense. So that's why I do it. Mm-hmm. Then I have Barkley at 9th the next year on Phoenix. Then I'm at 5th. Mm-hmm. Then I'm at 12th. Then I'm at 13th. Then I'm at 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that's where I have him. So yeah, he's one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, I don't know why you're ragging on him.
I'm not. But now, you want to hear Garnett year for the year now?
No.
Just to compare? We're doing it. Garnett. Wait, 7th,
no, but then we don't 8th, talk about Garnett when we're up to Garnett.
7th.
No one
8th,
wants to hear about 3rd, Garnett.
5th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st, 5th, 10th. 11th, 2nd, 14th, 13th, and then his career's over. All right, effectively over. Although he did finish 12th 1 year, but no, that was ridiculous. All right, okay. So number 18 on my list is Moses Malone.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Moses there.
All right, Moses jumped to the ABA straight from high school, and he played forever. So he's 6th all time in games. He was a 2-time MVP. He actually won 3, but he only deserved 2 because Kareem deserved it in 79 and only lost because the voters had Kareem fatigue after Kareem had earned like 8 in a row the previous 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Moses did have a small window from 80 to 82 where he was the best player in the league right after Kareem's peak and before Bird and Magic took off. Moses and Kevin Garnett are statistically almost identical players, and I have Garnett one spot ahead of him at 17. And very simply, the reason is defense, because Moses played 1,455 games. Garnett played 1,462 games. So Garnett played 7 more games. So their careers were literally the identical length. You know, Garnett's number is a little bit better. His PR is 0.7 better. His win shares he has 13 more win shares.
Mm-hmm.
But the main difference between them, again, is Moses was a pretty good defender. He made an all-defensive team twice. Garnett made it 12 times, including nine times on the first team. Which nobody else has ever done. Garnett won Defensive Player of the Year, of course, which Moses never did. So that's why I have Garnett one spot ahead of Moses, but they're very similar. Who do you have at 18?
At 18, I have one Scottrick Pippen.
Wow.
Where do you have Pippen?
18. I had him at 36, and I have him higher than everybody.
Yeah. To me, ultimately, he's one of the hardest people to rank because we don't really – we need to see his career without Jordan. But in my head –
Well, we did see two seasons without
Jordan. And it was amazing. He was amazing.
He was much worse than Kevin Garnett in those two seasons.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, look at his numbers. Yes, he was.
In what way was
look at his numbers in those 2 years. He put up like 22 points a game, 7 rebounds a game.
Yeah, he's the best wing, you know, until Kawhi Leonard came along, best wing defender of all time. You were just talking about how you value defense.
Three. Yeah, he's top three. Jordan's better than him, but yeah, Garnett's top three defensive player of all time also.
Mm-hmm.
Garnett had more all NBA defense first teams and more second teams and more defense player of the year awards.
Yeah.
Garnett finished one once and had finished second, I think, three times.
You know, at least twice, an historically great passer.
Pippen?
Yes.
He was a good passer, yeah.
He was good.
Yeah. I mean, it's way too high, but whatever.
Okay.
Okay, so as I said, number 17, I have KG on my list. At Moses, I said, I have a smidge behind KG. As I said, identical numbers. And I will say this. So as I said, KG's rate stats are all better. His PR is better. His win share is better, etc. Moses' traditional numbers are a bit better, but it's a little misleading because KG spent his first couple of years as the only teenager in the NBA. So his rookie year, he put up like 10 and 6, for example, while Moses spent his first couple of years in the ABA where anybody remotely decent put up like comically monster numbers because there was only...
And what's this, number 17?
Yeah.
All right, so I also have Moses at 17.
Okay. And as I said, you know, KG is in the conversation as the greatest defensive player of all time with Russell, MJ, Akeem, and Robinson.
So we have KG the same top... Oh, we don't have the same top 16. I have one guy that you...
KG revolutionized the game more than Moses did. KG put up 22-13-5.
How did KG revolutionize the game?
He put up 22-13-5 twice. You know who else done that ever?
Mm-hmm.
Wilt and Kareem. And they did it with sheer size.
Oh, so you mean people had already done it, but he revolutionized it by doing it for the third time.
No, yeah, but they did it just because they were a foot taller than
I'm not interested in Steve Jobs making the iPod, or like I want the guy who like copied the Zune. I want the third guy to do it.
All right, great. KG and Dirk are the two guys who like revolutionized power forward, what it means.
Mm-hmm.
KG put up 23-13-6. The only person to ever do that was Will Chamberlain.
Didn't Duncan, by like actually being good at it, revolutionize being power forward, or just KG for
Duncan
numbers?
Is not actually a power forward. He was a center, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, okay.
For his career, KG's 10th in rebounds, 20th in points, 9th in win shares, 5th in games, 17th in steals, 19th in blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to argue KG versus Duncan. I'll concede that Duncan wins that one.
Yeah, we're not going to even talk about that.
Hold on. No, but I will say, the question of how their careers would have fared if they flipped teams is very interesting.
Very interesting. Duncan never misses the playoffs, obviously.
Hold on. I just said...
And he never loses in the first round once in his career.
If you flip their teams, I just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Duncan does better than KG.
Okay, so hold on. KG does win titles, though.
Not as many, but he wins.
Okay, so hold on. During their primes, and you brought this up last week, and then you backed off when you realized you lost. From 2000 to 2012... From 2000 to 2012, you said, "Oh, during their primes, Duncan had better numbers.
Every year,
Garnett had more points, more rebounds, more win shares.
Yeah, he needed that more
PER,
points.
More higher PER.
Yeah, Duncan. Now, Duncan didn't need to score as much.
All right, the point is, it's closer than people realize. And now we will open up my KG versus Duncan year by year chart.
No, we're not opening up. We already had this conversation.
I won't discuss it.
We haven't discussed Michael Jordan versus, you know, Jared Jeffries. Like, why are we having this conversation?
Okay, so let's go year by year. So." Duncan's rookie season, he comes in, takes the league by storm.
We're not having this conversation. Yeah. Call me when KG, in his late 30s,
puts up
25 at halftime in game 7.
Hold on. Let's talk about their late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
From age 33 to 35, and these guys are the exact same age, age 33 to 35, KG was dramatically better than Duncan, and there was all the articles at the time about how it's sad to see Duncan go when KG's still going. So let's go year by year and remember what happened.
You wrote these articles on your blog, I think.
Hold on. Let's talk about it. In 2010, they're both 33 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. In 2010, Duncan loses in the second round of the playoffs. KG drags his team all the way to the finals. They lose in game 7.
Drags his team. He had a Hall of Famer at small forward. He had an amazing point guard.
No, Rajon Rondo was amazing. Okay, hold on. Okay, so let's get to the next year. The next year at age 34. At this point, Duncan puts up 13-8. KG puts up 15-9. KG put up more points, more rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Higher efficiency.
I'm going to guess his usage was a lot higher.
Hold on. Higher win shares. Mm-hmm. Higher win shares. Higher shooting percentage.
Because Duncan Smart and said, rest me for the playoffs where I'm still dominant.
Okay. Let's get to the playoffs. In the playoffs, Duncan lost in the first round, put up 12 and 10.
When 2011?
Yeah.
Well, their whole team got hurt.
Okay, fine. KG took his team to the second round and put up 15 and 11. Okay, his efficiency was 25. Duncan's efficiency was 18.
Why are we even talking about this?
Because you said who was better.
Duncan was the best player on five teams to win a championship.
Okay, hold on. Let's get to the next year. Let's get to age 35. Age 35.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan has a bit of a renaissance, puts up 15 and 9. Unfortunately for him, KG also puts up 15 and 9, but has a higher efficiency, higher win shares.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, let's in.
Hold on. Okay. And then
we're talking about 2012, where Tim Duncan. Okay. Yeah. You're just looking at numbers. Tim Duncan is the best player on a team that has the best stretch of basketball in April and May history in the entire history of the NBA.
Wait, what happened in the playoffs?
They win 20 games in a row. In the playoffs, they run into a team that has Kevin Garnett, Serge Ibaka, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. That's what happens in the playoffs. And they lose very close games four times, and they lose in six after winning 20 in a row.
And did Duncan step it up? What were Duncan's numbers in the playoffs?
He
had 17 and 9, which is okay, which is respectable. All right, now what did KG do that year? KG was on a team, Boston, that was completely broken down by this point.
Broken down.
Ray Allen had gone to the enemy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Broken down.
Paul Pierce was a shell of himself. Yeah. Rondo, for some random reason, had a really down season that year. Mm-hmm. KG dragged
probably
his team.
Because playing with Kevin Garnett is awful. And
okay, hold on.
Want to kill themselves.
Hold on. No. Let's talk about this. The Spurs got run off the court by Oklahoma City. Right?
They lost in six games.
Okay, hold on. Okay.
They win that series seven times out of 10. Serge Ibaka goes 10 for 10 from the floor.
They lost four games in a row and couldn't even make it to game seven, right?
No, you're an idiot. I hope everyone realizes how much
Oklahoma
you're
City,
trolling.
Oklahoma City that year must have been really good, right?
What happened to the NBA?
Okay, so what happened to Oklahoma City the next round? They must have won the title, right? Oh, no, they got killed by the Heat.
You know what
they
did? They ran out of steam from having to beat the best team in the NBA in six games.
Who's the only team, other than the Spurs in the finals, who's the only team to drag the Heat in the Apex with their big three to seven games? Oh, it was Kevin Garnett and the Celtics that year. Kevin Garnett, at the age of 35, was the best player in the playoffs.
Dragged them to seven games. We beat him by 40 four times.
What are you talking about?
The Spurs.
You lost Oklahoma City, who lost to Miami in five. Meanwhile, the Celtics took Miami to seven, and Garnett threw the playoffs at age 35.
2014.
Just hold on.
2014.
Playoff numbers.
The Spurs,
as an old man.
The Spurs ended the series like every game in the second quarter.
Garnett's.
Are you crazy?
Garnett's 2012 playoffs are the greatest old man playoffs ever.
Okay.
At 35 years old, he was the best player for the Celtics. He put up 19.2 points, 10.4 rebounds, 22.6 efficiency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally the exact same numbers Duncan puts up the next year at age 36.
Hold on. No, he did not. The next year, Duncan put up 18 and 10.
I'm sure in 33 minutes.
His efficiency was lower also by a full point.
Okay. Again,
by 0.9,
25 points at halftime of the deciding game.
Okay, and yet over the entire playoffs, he wasn't as good as Garnett. And he had a way better team. Kawhi Leonard was the best player on that team.
I'm going to find G-Chats from Alexander Chester saying that Duncan is the MVP of the series. There are so many of them.
I agree.
G-Chats from
you. As you may recall.
Oh, my God.
But forget about the fact that Kawhi got it over Duncan that year. What about the fact that Tony Parker stole one from Duncan in 2005? That was much worse.
It upsets me very much. Too much.
Yeah.
Chris Duncan.
Anyway.
Ronnie
so the point is, if you compare them year by year, Garnett to Duncan, okay?
You're making me upset.
Based on the regular season alone,
Reyes.
Akiva, for the 19 years their career overlapped,
Jorge Sosa.
Their numbers are virtually identical.
In the
playoffs, Duncan was better.
Yeah.
But again, that's why I said, what happens if they swap
teams? Why are we even having this conversation?
Because their numbers are virtually identical. And Garnett's numbers are actually better until the last 3 years when Garnett fell off a shelf once he went to Brooklyn. He became terrible. And Duncan, who was worse than Garnett at age 33, 34, 35, by a small margin, blew Garnett out of the waters at age 36, 37, 38, 39. Okay. Blew him out of the water.
Yeah.
What Duncan's done the last couple of years is incredible. This year, he sort of fell off. But what he did in 2014...
Right, this year he fell off and was, by every statistical metric, the best defensive player in the NBA.
Well, I guess everyone is Akiva's dreams.
No,
and Akiva's
by like both
Akiva's wet dreams.
Like the two main like a hardcore statistician defensive metrics.
I'm the one who found you that stat. And let's be honest, it had Duncan and KG 1 and 2.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with KG playing defense this year in very limited minutes, but he played defense.
Yeah. All right, okay. Number 16 on my list, George Mikan.
I don't know why I forgot to rank Mikan, honestly. Not like forgot, but I sort of like left him out on purpose.
If you want to object to this, I have no issue. He only played 7 years and only six at a high level, only four.
And he was the only good player, so we have no way to like gauge what he was doing.
But it's not his fault. The league didn't exist before that.
No, I know.
That's not true.
Well, it's mostly his fault.
Dolph Schayes and Bob Cousy played at the same time. But his dominance was matched. The only people ever was dominant as him is Wilt Chamberlain. Maybe you could argue Kareem. He defined the game. He changed the game. You know, they expanded the lane just to try and keep him out of the lane. His team was basically automatic title winner every year that he played. And the only other people could say that are Russell and MJ. I give him 5 playoff MVPs, and the only people who can top that are the aforementioned Russell and MJ.
Okay.
But George Mikan, short career. So who do you have at number 16?
At number 16, I have Karl Malone.
Okay, we'll get to Karl Malone.
That's not a bad ranking.
Putting him at number 16 is like putting Kevin Garnett at number 24. You're humiliating
yourself. You have Malone in the top 10? That's ridiculous.
We'll get to that.
What's your next tier? Because I think this podcast is almost done here.
All right, well, my tier's here. My tier cuts off right here.
So I think the
top 15 are pretty much set in stone, in my opinion.
And we don't have the same 15?
We don't?
Well, because I don't have Karl Malone in my 15.
Okay. The top 15 are the only 15 guys who you can put in the conversation for top 15. To me, there's a very clear cutoff here. There's a big gap between Jerry West and Kevin Garnett. And George Mikan, again, is sort of, you can put George Mikan wherever you want.
I'm trying to figure out now who I have in my 15 that you don't have. Wait, who did I say? I'm a little tired. So Karl Malone, you have Karl Malone.
Yep.
And you don't have, yeah, I know who. Okay,
David Robinson?
Yes, I have David Robinson, you have Karl Malone. That's fine. That's pretty reasonable. And then everybody else, we have the same.
I mean, you have David Robinson way too high, obviously. But by the way, I need to make apologies. I made fun of Bleacher Report for their list. I said your list was worse than Bleacher Report's.
But it's a good list.
But Bleacher Report had KG at number 15. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you got to respect them.
Okay.
The only ones who had KG outside the top 21.
Oh, no, I don't want to. Okay, so let's wrap this up.
The only one who was KG outside the top 21 is you. And then Sports Illustrated. But Sports Illustrated's list is such a... Sports Illustrated's list was insane. I think they were just like throwing shit against the wall, literally. They had Elvin Hayes in the top, like at number 19.
All right, so people said like... All right, let's go back to the podcast one second.
Yeah.
People said that like, hey, you know, some people said, I don't follow basketball. I want to come back to the podcast. Let me know when it's done. And unfortunately, we're going to have to do we're going to have to extend this to a third week. Maybe next week we can record like another... piece, maybe at the end of that one or a separate smaller podcast. I have a couple ideas for, you know, our late July podcast.
It's almost football season also.
It's almost football season. It's almost Olympics, which I love, and hopefully we'll do something on the Olympics.
Well, we have an Olympic pool that's coming up.
Yeah, we have a big Olympic pool.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah,
I think maybe we'll talk about that next week or in 2 weeks. It's too early for that.
But I spent a lot of time working on this.
A lot of time. It's very good.
I think it's going to work nicely. Yeah.
I think it will. I think people... I can't, like... gauge how many people are actually going to join it, but it's really good.
Well, you have to have a a gambling problem or be obsessed with the Olympics.
Well, yeah, I don't think you have to be obsessed. I think it helps. Like everyone watches it, so why not have a relatively cheap gambling?
Well, that's
interest?
The point. Yeah, this is like March Madness. This is super easy. You fill it out. You don't have to know anything.
I mean, everyone watches the Olympics. The Olympics do much better numbers than like Game of Thrones. Much better numbers than Walking Dead. Much better numbers than anything on TV. And you have to watch it live.
Well, except that NBC doesn't show it live.
No, they do now because it's in Brazil.
No, they should, and they're still going to have it on an hour delay.
Yeah, who cares? I've never watched the opening ceremony.
Really?
The opening ceremony
it has by far the highest ratings.
No interest in it. I'm only interested in the sports aspect of it. I was watching the U.S. track trials. I watched every day of the track Olympic trials, track and field.
Yeah.
Or athletics, as they call it outside.
We can't
States.
Discuss the top 15 of NBA because we have to discuss track and field trials.
Yeah, well, because I know there's only going to be 2 minutes, and every player takes 5 minutes with you.
Yeah.
And it was really compelling television. It was like the best TV I watched all year. It was like heroes were dethroned in every single event. It was like every single event had a gold medal winner or the guy who's number one in the world this year not make the Olympics. Like the United States team is harder to make than like all of Europe combined. It was sad.
All right, so let's wrap this up. So next week we will discuss the 15 greatest players in NBA history.
Let's do a bet next week also. I have a good bet for us.
Yeah, in my opinion, there can be no debate over who the 15 greatest players are. Mm-hmm. Akiva disagrees. He's a homer, so he's going to put more Spurs in there. Sean Elliott's probably going to be on that list. Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Bruce Bowen.
Yeah, for sure. These guys are all top 10. Dwayne Shintzis, I think, is probably about 14.
Wheels. You ready to roll away?
Yeah. What's my new catchphrase? I don't remember it.
Threenicker? It's bye.
No, that's my name. I don't like bye. You don't like bye. I said whatever. I don't like whatever. But I got to come. In the meantime, I'll say whatever. I got to think something better. Whatever.